We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Roto Grinders today. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender Ed, Blender HD. You're going to follow me on Twitter. And it's Tuesday, April 16th. We'll be taking a look at the 10-game MLB slate for tonight on DraftKings, as well as FanDuel, as well as some props, as well as some pick'em. It's Tuesday, so we need someone with a T in here just to keep with the alliteration. It's Tim Buell, who will not be talking about NHL. We'll not be doing NHL at all. Tim, you said the last time, said, I'm done with hockey. Hockey, there's what? What's it, like one or two games left? The rest of the week? I think we'll be talking with Taylor on Thursday about NHL. Yep. But for the most part, you're done with NHL.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. I'm not playing DFS hockey right now. I'm still doing projections a little bit for, you know, the remainder of the season, but yeah, I've moved on to MLB, definitely.
Well, hit that thumbs up button on your way in the door, people. You know how much I like the thummy thumbs. Give me the thummy thumbs. Hit that like button. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the notification bell to know when we go live. Remember, later today, we got Grinders Live. We got Crunch Time. They'll be breaking down more detail of tonight's slate, MLB. We got NBA stuff going on, play-in games, and we got NHL, obviously. We got all that stuff for you. If you're a combo premium member here at Roto Grinders, click on that link in the description. We're running a deal. 6 months of combo premium, you get $250 off. I don't know how long that deal is going to run, but this is what I use, right? So people say, oh, what else? You probably use other stuff. No. I eat my own dog food. I use the Roto Grinders, all the tools here. I use SimLabs, right? Even to make my MLB lineups. I combine that with the bat, which is Derek Carty's projections. I use our pick'em tool. I use our prop model. I use our everything. So join me. Join me in the Discord, rotogrinders.com/Discord as well. But Tim, we got this 10-game MLB slate. I've already taken care of pretty much all my props. Just,
really?
As a fun little thing. By this time? Oh, by 11 in the morning, I'm done. I mean, like, I'm not even going to look at anything until maybe 5 o'clock when like starting lineups come out. If you took a guess, how many props do you think that, how many total bets do you think I have in as of right now?
80.
It depends on if you're, no, it's higher. It's much higher.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. 150.
Okay. Oh, Daniel Hutchings gets it right. I He gets it right. I mean, I don't know. He got it right on the dot.
How does he know that? That's a random number.
It's behind me. I don't know. What?
Like, does he have your password? Does he have your password?
I don't know. Did he sign in? Did he sign into something? Was he spying on me? And technically, it's more than this because my Bet365 ones aren't tracked on the app that I use. So it's a little bit more than that. But yeah, 127. They're not all baseball. I have like maybe 20 or 30 hockey ones in also. Okay. But in total, to just put things into perspective, I take the bat projections and I just anything with enough of an edge, I just everything on it. So yeah, I got that taken care of. But later in the day, I will be making my DFS lineups tonight. So we could talk about both, obviously. I want to just preview the pop props and pick them stuff. We'll talk a little bit about some of that a little bit later. But as always, we start with pitching on this slate. The pitching is pretty good on this slate, right? I mean, I know it's 2 weeks into the season, but it's getting to the point where there are certain teams that are just like not good, and we tend to attack them more. And also there are pitchers that, I mean, the only thing that the only pitcher that I would be scared of today, he projects fairly well for his price in the bat, is Hunter Brown. Like, if you're going to go for like I don't think he's going to be that owned. But everyone else, I mean, we have Lance Lynn, Hunter Green, Logan Gilbert. We're going to lose like Brady Singer. I don't think, you know,
most likely, yes.
Plays.
Yep.
Rodon, yep. 7,800. Obviously, Dylan Cease is the most expensive pitcher at 10,700. I don't think his matchup is the greatest. What are your first thoughts as like where you're going at pitcher day on DraftKings where you have to play two of them?
Yeah, okay. So I'm not necessarily playing this guy because I'm only a single entry player, but one guy you didn't mention is Jared Jones, who the bat hates because the bat hates rookies, but he's a really good, really solid pitcher. I mean, small sample size, but he's shown really good stuff, really good control, high strikeout upside also. So that's another guy that I would at least mention, throw into the mix for your GPP pools. He's 8,700. So he's another guy. I think pitching is definitely, like you said, it's pretty strong today. You know, Hunter Green, big boomer bust type pitcher, right? Like really good strikeout stuff, but also can give up the long ball. So I think the quote unquote safest guy is probably Logan Gilbert, followed by Lance Lynn. Those are probably your two safest, you know, maybe optimal type pitchers. But there are other, you know, I think you could even, I mean, the Hunter Brown question, I think, is really quite fascinating because Hunter Brown is far too talented to be a $6,500 pitcher, but he got absolutely lit up in his last start, and now he's got to face Atlanta. But 6,500 opens up a ton of stuff. So I think he's interesting as well. I think, I don't know what you think, but I think Dylan Cease is too expensive, to be honest with you, at 10,700. I don't think I want to roster that in cash or in large field.
Well, I think, if we put it on the screen, I have lineup HQ up here. So if Steve could add that, obviously, I have the bat projections up, so Jared Jones is going to look like awful because, you know, right. Small sample sizes with the minor league stats and everything. The bat, it could be that Jared Jones is a great pitcher. It could be that he's not.
Right,
that he's overperforming.
Right, exactly. Right? But I really think he's got to be in your pool, though. In my opinion, like if you're making 20 or more teams, he has to be in your pool. In my opinion,
right. I mean the pitcher I feel the most comfortable with is Lance Lynn. He's facing Oakland in Oakland, pitcher-friendly ballpark. He can pitch even mid-April. He could pitch. He has a ceiling of over 100 pitches. 8,400 seems good to me. I like Hunter Green's upside. Like basically in DFS, The pitchers that I don't like playing are pitchers that project well for their cheaper salary because they mitigate damage. Because if they don't mitigate damage, there's no other way. Like, I'm not a big fan of playing guys like Kyle Hendricks. I'm not a big fan of playing guys like Tommy Henry or Ryan Yarbrough or even J.P. Sears. Like, they're just not – they don't have a high enough strikeout rate that if they give up three runs, like, they're done. Like, how do you have a decent fantasy score? Hunter Green could give up five runs and still give you 20 fantasy points because he also has 10 strikeouts while giving up three home runs. So I much prefer to use those types of guys. Like, I'm not a big fan of Jose Quintana. I have Jose Quintana's unders today, so not a fan of that. I'd much rather play Rodon against Toronto, even though it's a perceived not as good of a matchup against, as opposed to Quintana versus Pittsburgh. It's just that, Rodon is frustrating at times, but
yes.
I think he's a way too talented pitcher when he's on than his 7,600, because the Blue Jays can strike out a bunch, and there's no reason why Rodon outside of Yankee Stadium, which is actually a ballpark upgrade for him, can't go six innings and strike out eight. Just understand that he could also walk four guys and give up seven runs before coming out in the second inning. The guys that appeal to me the most, I'm not a Logan Gilbert guy at all. I have Logan Gilbert's unders also, but I think he's safe, right? I think you mentioned it, like Lynn and, like if I was playing cash games, which I'm not, probably the pairing that I would make would be Lynn and Gilbert. But in GPP, I'd much prefer Green. I'd much prefer going like Green Rodon. And I don't think I need Dylan Cease is just like, he's like 2 or 3K higher than other pitchers that practically project the same.
That,
he's like 1,700 more than Hunter Green. Like
Dylan he should be 9K. In my opinion, he's almost 2,000.
Hey, give me 9,500. If he was 9,500, I'd be like, okay, that's reasonable.
Right. Yeah. What about Ryan Yarbrough? So the bat has him for, I think, like 65 pitches. Our projections have him for 81. Let's split the difference and say he gets like 70, 72 or something like that. At 6,200, I mean, I know the Nationals just like embarrassed Glasnow last night, but I mean, 6,200 for Ryan Yarbrough, I think he's worth considering if he can get like a right around 70 pitches. I think he's a viable punt. I see a couple of people talking about JP Sears as a punt also, but I think I prefer Yarbrough over probably Hunter Brown and Sears.
How many strikeouts is Yarbrough going to throw?
Right. It's true.
I mean,
true.
To me, it really comes down to when I'm playing GPPs and I'm going to take a shot on a sub 8K pitcher, sub 7K pitcher. Like to me, this may sound crazy. I prefer Hunter Brown over both of them because I know it's a horrible matchup. He's going to be like nothing owned. He's going to be, well, I mean, what? Under 5% owned because no one's going to want to play him after the last start and facing the Braves. But it's not like the Braves are the Braves hit well, but they also strike out. I mean, for the ownership and the strikeout upside, it's just that I look at like Sears is much more likely to put up 12 fantasy points. Ryan Yarbrough is much more likely to put up 12 fantasy points. But who's more likely to put up 20 plus fantasy points? I mean, I prefer Sears over Yarbrough personally, but I don't like either of these pitchers. I mean, I don't like Hunter Brown either, but I'm not even sure. Like, I mean, obviously we're talking about pitching now. Unless you're looking to like full stack the Dodgers today, or maybe the Braves, even though I don't think that's the greatest of moves.
Mm-hmm.
Do you even need the salary? Like, do you need to be playing a 6K pitcher?
You still don't need to.
400 and Rodon at 7,600. And as long as I'm not full stacking the Dodgers or something, or like the main part of the Padres or some of these expensive, most of the expensive teams other than the Dodgers, not really looking to play, right? I'm not really looking to full stack the Yankees or anything like that, or the Blue Jays, probably in that game. Am I going to even be in a position where I'd be playing a 6K pitcher?
No, you absolutely do not have to play any of these guys. I just think that I like to discuss people that I think will belong in a portfolio of teams if you're making 20 or more. You certainly do not have to play these guys in any format if you don't want to.
If we take a look at SimLabs, remember, SimLabs, as of this moment right now at 11:15 a.m., only has like the projected lineups and the projected ownership as of now. SimLabs is a much more useful tool a half an hour before lock, okay? So to take all this with a grain of salt, we have the White Sox game in the projections because it hasn't been postponed yet, although I would think it's a high chance that it does get postponed. And when looking at our projected ownership versus like the optimal rates of these pitchers, the top leverage pitchers on the slate are Dylan Cease and Jared Jones. Mm-hmm. Dylan Cease primarily because obviously he has a ceiling, just that I'm not sure how compared to all these other options, playing a 10-7 pitcher probably gets you different stacks. You're probably not playing the Dodgers as much. He's going to be much lower on. We have him at 14% ownership. Jared Jones, we have a 20% ownership, but his optimal rate is like the highest on the like our SimLabs has his optimal rate number one at 30%. Then Cease, yep. Then Lynn, then Green, then Bibee, then Gilbert, then Lopez, like Ronaldo Lopez at 8,000 against the Astros. How many people are clicking that name? Because we take a look at the optimal projection.
I can't do that.
Right. Well, if you're playing large, to me, this is a large field GPP type of thing where
I know
we have him as optimal.
But I'd rather play these 6K guys than Lopez, just in my opinion. You know, I'd rather play the Yarboroughs and the Sears, you know, and the Browns.
SimLabs has Yarborough as the most overowned pitcher.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, but like I said, take the numbers with a grain of salt, meaning that
it's early.
Generated this morning with projected lineups and projected early ownership, and not a game missing on not. It's not a nine game slate. It's a 10 game slate. So I just want to show that what SimLabs does show, right? So you could see this in the overall count, and then we could go through and create some lineups and see what they look like. Let's move on to offenses, though. Obviously, the top offense on the slate, six total, are the Dodgers. How much Dodgers chalk are you going to play when, like, a lot of the byproduct of being able to fit in the Dodgers is that you're going to get some of these, like, cheaper righties. Like, I know Chris Taylor's been awful. But like Kiki Hernandez at 2,900 in the lineup, it's going to be very hard to play Betts, Ohtani, Freeman, Smith, Hernandez like that, like to take that out. But you could always mix in a Miguel Rojas or something like that. They're facing Patrick Corbin, which is obviously a great matchup, and it's a great matchup for the righties, especially. Yeah. Are the Dodgers
given?
I mean, are they the clear the Dodgers, number one, even with the ownership consideration?
Well, considering ownership, maybe not. But, you know, in terms of actual just, you know, in a vacuum, they are the obvious top stack. Now, considering ownership, that's a different question. I do think Will Smith...
So what, if we don't play the Dodgers today, what are other stacks that you're considering, especially in you play the smaller field, single entry style, 3-max style contests. So you tend to, very similar to the NHL, right? I mean, I'm the same way. Like, and if I was playing a 300 person contest, I'm probably not playing, you know, maybe the Reds today or something like in that. Like that large field, sure. Leverage against Logan Gilbert, absolutely. But what are you looking at in your lineups? Because we have a total. Like this Cubs Diamondbacks total is like the highest on the board, right? They both have five totals.
I like Arizona quite a bit.
They're like mid-range priced. Are you interested in this game? I mean, what are you looking at?
Yeah, so I mean, I ran Sims before I got on the show. You know, I entered in the small field setting, you know, and then I also did the single entry setting also. Got a lot of Atlanta. I got a lot of Jared Jones at pitching, a ton of Jared Jones at pitching. Got a lot of Atlanta. Got a lot of Toronto. And I got quite a bit of Arizona, too. So I think Arizona really intrigues me. They have a 5.5 total, I think it is, going up against Kyle Hendricks. I mean, I think that they're in a really good spot. However, they don't give you – I mean, they give you some savings off the Dodgers, but they're not exactly cheap, you know. So it's like I probably would have to go Jared Jones, then go – you know, like a Kikuchi or one of those 6K guys, really. Like, I probably can't go Jared Jones, Lance Lynn, and Arizona. It might be, right. That might be,
I mean,
hard,
the top four to guys for Arizona are all over 5K. You're not,
right, that's what I'm saying.
There's no
discount
here for the Diamondbacks.
Right, exactly. Will Smith for the Dodgers is way too cheap, given his skill set, given his position in the lineup, and given that, you know, his position, right? Like, he's gonna be a tough guy to get away from, I think. Probably can't one off him, but cash games, he's like a must, in my opinion.
Okay, so you were getting a lot of Diamondbacks, and then you also mentioned Toronto against Rodon.
Yep.
Toronto's a little bit cheaper. Obviously, I'm not a fan. I'm more likely to be on the Rodon side than the Blue Jays side, but I absolutely see a case of playing bats against Rodon. I mean, are the key ones here like they're not? I mean, there's like Danny Jansen in the lineup at 3,100. Davis Schneider, you could play in the outfield spot. I think these guys may be, you know, the key cogs in order to start fitting in, like Vlad and Bo Bichette and guys like that. But a 4.25 total, I mean, we currently have like Davis Schneider and Danny Jansen at like 15%+ ownership on what is currently a 10 game slate. I'm not a big fan of playing these types of guys at higher ownership.
And then the other team I wanted to two more teams I wanted to talk about are the Padres. Getting a lot of Padres and St. Louis. Those are the other two teams that I'm getting. I mean, a lot of righties going up against Wade Miley. You know, it's definitely, you know, Machado's under 5K, Xander's under 5K. Pro, you know, guys like Profar and Kim are, you know, they're all under, you know, they're all pretty cheap. So I think, you know, I'm actually kind of surprised how low their implied team total is. Yeah, I figured it'd be like in the higher, like 4.7 range. It's only about 4.15 right now. So I do like San Diego quite a bit. And
the problem that Tim with San Diego, is that it's Wade Miley. I don't know how long you've been playing MLB DFS.
He's the
Miley
worst
is someone that you stack and then you never get there because he doesn't strike many people out, but he also typically doesn't give up 8 runs. He just like, I'm going to come in, pitch 5 innings with 2 strikouts, give up 6 hits, 7 hits. You're going to score 3 runs off of him. And then you watch him pitch and you go, how does no one just destroy this guy? And then it's 5 days later, you just forget that all happened. And that's a continual cycle for the past 8 years of MLB DFS. So maybe that's why they know the team total is so low, because it's like, Wade Miley, you never play in DFS. You think that you could stack against Wade Miley and it just never gets there.
Yes, I have been playing DFS long enough to know that every time I stack against Miley, it does not work out, but, I don't know. I still think they're worth a shot. Maybe as like a couple one-offs, like Tatis as a one-off or Machado as a one-off.
And what's the other team?
St. Louis. Yeah, the reason I don't really like this one though is that I don't want to play bats in Oakland, really. Like it's a really, really bad ballpark. So I mean, I know that it's still kind of bad everywhere right now. But I'm getting a lot of St. Louis and Sims right now. So it's not thrilling. I don't really like the bottom of that lineup very much at all. But like a Goldie, Contreras, Arenado, three man, all of them under 5K. I think that's completely viable against Sears.
I mean, Sears projects well median wise as a pitcher, and the Cardinals project fairly well median wise against him. I think I'm with you. I don't see ceiling outcomes here. It's Oakland, right? Right. You have 18 teams to choose from. I'm typically not going to play teams that aren't the great. Like if we're talking about the Dodgers in Oakland, it's like, okay, the Braves in Oakland, fine, maybe, you know, stuff like that. But the Cardinals are just typically not that team. And they're not cheap enough. If this was a vomit stack, we got like Arenado much cheaper, Goldschmidt much cheaper, and you know, stuff like that, then maybe. But I'm going to run through some lineups here. Just default set, just whatever. Let's see. Let's go to advanced. Okay. I'm looking more for, you know, we already got the minimum stack, so I could do medium, high, it doesn't matter. And doesn't matter. I'm not going to fool around with it. So I'm going to do 150, and let's see right now what it comes up with. I mean, obviously, Tim, you've run this earlier, so I'm assuming we're going to get more. I put in small field, medium range, right? Just like kind of in the middle, right? So Cease, Lynn, let's see. Let's go to exposures. And obviously, you could use this tool if you're a premium member here at RotoGrinders. Oh yeah,
Look at Jared Jones. I got 55% when I did it.
Ton of Jared Jones, a ton of Hunter Green.
Yep.
Yeah, but also realize that RG projections have Jared Green much higher than the back projections
do. Yeah, way higher. But I mean, we know why though, because the bat hates rookies. You know, so
that's not the mathematical reason why it's the bat doesn't.
Well,
it's sample size. Right, it's a sample set that it's using a lot of minor league data in order to project Jared Jones, and the minor league data when comparing it to major league data makes it so that is Jared Jones real? We're not sure yet, and the bat is much more likely to care about larger samples than smaller samples. Oh, yeah, a lot of Jared Jones. Let's see, team-wise. Yeah, Braves, Mariners. A lot more Braves, Mariners. Obviously, the Royals may not even be an option today. Most likely not. Mariners, Oakland against the Yankees, Cardinals. But, I mean, look who you don't see here. Like 2% Dodgers.
Right.
I think this really comes down to leverage. Because if you're going to play the Braves, like that means you're not playing the Dodgers. And so many people are playing the Dodgers today that the Braves have a ceiling enough that the Braves could easily, especially if Hunter Brown is like what he was in his last start. I mean, the Braves could easily put up 10 runs on him. No problem. But the Mariners, let's take a look at the Mariners.
I mean, Hunter Green gives up a ton of hard contact.
Right.
So, I mean, and so if Green's going to be popular, I wouldn't mind doing some hedge stacks of Seattle at all.
Right.
Guys like Julio, Haniger, France. He gives up a little bit. I think he gives up a little bit more power to righties also. So, let me just double check on plate IQ. Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely gives up way higher ISO to right-handed bats. So and more hard contact to righties also. But he gives up hard contact to both sides of the plate, well over 50%. So Hunter Green is so boomer bust. I mean, he really is. And if you're an MME player, I think you should always probably have some exposure to a hedge stack against him.
And it's going to be good leverage if you don't want to play Hunter Green in a non-Hunter Green lineup playing. And it doesn't even have to be a Seattle five man.
No,
there's no reason you can't just play like, you know, Polanco, France in the like infield positions. Take a shot on a one-off Julio Rodriguez, that type of thing. Because all these Seattle guys are not going to be very owned because Hunter Green's probably going to be 30 plus percent owned on this slate.
Yeah, I would definitely get to a few hedge stacks of Seattle.
So anything
or just one off, or just one-offs.
Right. Anything else DFS wise as a first look this morning for the slate?
No, just like we talked about, you know, I'm bummed that we can't play Brady Singer, it looks like. But yeah, from a DFS standpoint, no. I'll be on Grinders Live later. I'll give out a couple home run picks.
You're doing the home run call? I got some.
Yeah, give us one.
Okay, give one. Okay, I'm gonna remember.
As many as you want, Blunder. As many as you want.
As many as I want. It depends on the price. So let me go through. Okay. So I'll tell you the ones that I have currently. I've got in the Twins Orioles game, I've got Cedric Mullins plus 750. I also have Edward Julien, as long as he's batting first, at plus 1100. He probably does bat first against Grayson Rodriguez. So like that, it should be fine. He's not a lefty. So I got that. What else do I got? I'm just going through. I got Mike Trout at plus 330. That's an easy one.
Yeah.
I also have Stanton at plus 350. And I think I have one more. Yeah, O'Neill Cruz against Quintana at plus 700.
Oh, I like also, that.
Also realized that Quintana actually gives up way more power to lefties, even though he is a lefty. Because he's a soft-throwing lefty, so that's what's going to end up happening. And also, from a strikeout perspective, if I take a look at our prop model today, I'll even throw it up on the screen, but just a little bit. I'll just put it at the top. Right, just a little bit at the top, just to show you. Because you need to be a premium member or a props and pick'em member. If you're not playing DFS, you could get it for a little bit cheaper. But we have our prop model here, which gets updated with our projections. So I'll just throw that on the screen. Here's the stacks page for the bat. Looking through here, the top 20, ones that the bat agrees with. So it's ones that I have. I do have Quintana's under 5.5 strikeouts. I don't know what number. That's a minus number. I think it's like minus 120 or something. Minus 115, under 5.5 strikeouts. I also have Grayson Rodriguez under 17.5 outs. So he doesn't make it 6 innings. I also have Logan Gilbert under 17.5 outs, even though he does project well, that he doesn't go 7 innings. What else? What else do I got here? That's on our prop model. Not many of the hitter prop. Like for the most part, Tim, like 75 plus 80% of my prop bets are pitching bets, not hitting bets.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
The hitter props are more variant. Yeah. They are typically higher hold. A lot of these markets may be one way. You can't bet the other side. So they get to inflate the hold there. And also, I'm not going to start making hundreds of hitter prop bets without confirmed lineups. Because the difference between, if you take someone's I'm going to take someone's over hit, you know, for like plus 110 or something. And he's projected to bat sixth. Well, if he bats seventh, then that edge may, just that one simple spot in the order may reduce the edge to something that you shouldn't even be betting. If he goes down to eighth, then it's negative, right? And especially the batters where you're not sure who's going to be in the order. I don't like betting those small edges like that, right? The home run stuff doesn't change that much, right? But like the hits and the total bases, Because what ends up happening is that our projected order, you're betting someone over 1.5 total, you know, one over half a total base, over 1.5 total bases. We project for him to bat second, and then the lineup comes out and he's batting seventh. And it's like, well, that's like almost, that's like 3/4 of a plate appearance expectation that just got eliminated, which means your total bases over is so much less valuable, right? That it's now negative EV. So really a lot of the hitter props, I don't really focus on until like actual confirmed lineups come out.
Yeah, so I can get Jose Quintana under 5.5 at -115 on DK. So I think I'm going to bet that with you. I'm gonna trail that bat.
Okay, well, I mean, the bat and our RG scores and odds prop model both have that.
Yep.
Under 5.5 strikeouts. We have the win percentage in RG at 65%. So obviously it's at -115. That's more well more than enough.
Right.
Then also we got some prize pick stuff. I look on the pick'em tool. People like these. People like, you know, oh, you're giving out stuff because people don't want to subscribe and actually look and just look at the stuff. Just look at the model. Okay, let's see. Prize picks. What's currently up on prize picks? Quintana's up there also. 5.5 under.
Wow. Right,
so you could do that there.
Do they charge juice on prize picks?
Well, it's forced parlays. So, like, you should be taking 5 at a time, right? Okay. 5-6 at a time. And you're looking for an average leg of better than -118.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't have prize picks in my state.
There's a lot of good stuff there. I mean, just understand that your variance is going to be much higher since you're making flex 5s and flex 6s rather than, you can't bet single. You can't do single stuff there. But yeah, Grayson Rodriguez is up there also, less than 17.5 outs. Tommy Hendry, I also, let's see, let me take a look. I could just show you if it's still up. This is what I have today, right? Casey Mize, less than 5.5 hits allowed. Carlos Rodon, less than 5.5 hits allowed. Quintana, under less than 5.5 strikeouts. Tommy Hendry, less than 3.5 earned runs. And Ryan Weathers, more than 4.5 hits allowed. If those numbers are still, the Mize one isn't up. Anytime it turns green like this, that means like that number has moved, or the game has started. And obviously the game has not started. That game doesn't start until 1 or whatever. So this is what I got. And typically on Prize Picks, Tim, this is the last thing I look at. It's the type of thing where I go through all of my stuff and then I go, okay, let me go to Prize Picks, see if I can find the 5 highest pitcher prop ones. And there you go. Because, you know, it's like, if I hit all 5, I get 300 from 30. If I hit 4, I get 60 from 30. So it's like, this isn't like a big part. This is like, hey, if I hit a whole bunch of them, I make a lot more money, but it isn't the crux of, I used to do like, I would have like 100 of these. Right. Right. But now since sportsbooks were open here in September, why am I getting -118 on these? When I could get much better numbers, much better prices elsewhere. So I kind of just like throw these in, right?
Right.
That's why I withdrew a whole bunch of money for Prize Picks. And you can see here from my amount 1 of how much volume I actually did play on Prize Picks.
Right.
And it's not deceptive. The amount 1 is not profit, obviously.
Yeah, right.
It's like you're churning money, right?
It's just your volume.
Right. But for 2 years, my volume was, you know, on an NFL Sunday, I would have like several, you know, $4,000 worth of combinations of like 20 different things together. And just like, as long as I get like more than half of them right, like I'm profiting. So give it to me. So you're going to be on Grinders Live later today.
Yeah, I'll be on Grinders Live later tonight with Robert, Bobby Gomes and Dean. And then I'll be recording the morning grind with Stevie late night at 10 Eastern. If you want to watch it live,
Do you also do some lineup HQ tags and expert survey stuff or consensus value rankings? Do you do any?
Not for MLB. I'll just be doing some shows here and there.
Okay. Well, if you're a premium member, you could read Cheese's Million Dollar Musings. He always writes like 10,000 words every day, Monday through Friday for each slate, and that's for premium members. That'll be up pretty soon. Hit that like button on your way out the door. You know how much I like the thummy thumbs. Hit the thummy thumbs right there. Hit the subscribe button if you're new. Hit the notification bell to know when we go live tomorrow. No, this show, but we will have an early Grinders Live that I will be on. I'm not sure. That may actually be earlier than 11. Depends on if they put the noon. I'm not sure if they're going to put the noon game on the slate. There's like a 12-10 game tomorrow. It's an early slate tomorrow. It's all the games are in the afternoon, except for one. I think there's a 7 o'clock night game. So we'll be early here tomorrow with Grinders Live and Crunch Time. I'll still be on it. And then we'll be back on Thursday where Taylor will come on for the last time for NHL. Yep. For I think the last big slate of the season until we hit the playoffs. And as always, if you want all of our premium content, click that link in the description. Sign up for 6 months, get $250 off. And always join me in the morning, Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock Eastern, talking about all things you're thinking about in Daily Fantasy, Props and Pick'em on Roto Grinders today.